episode 18 of The Rift, November 1st, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Desicus.
So, Desi, how has life been treating you?
I'm so happy
to have you back.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make the last one because I've just been a slave to the theater, literally. We're doing a musical, and there are six of us working in the shop that are paid
to make all the costumes.
Yeah, there's no, okay, let me explain how ridiculously painful this is. We're doing the show Carnival, which is, of course, it's a carnival. And there's one scene where there's a magic trick. And so there's a body double. We had to make two dresses for these girls. And one of them, all she does in this dress that we had to build for her is falls out from underneath the box and runs off stage.
Oh my god.
I felt so bad for the girl that had to make it. I was like, I'm just gonna sit over here.
So your life has been hectic.
Yeah. Very chaotic.
Well, I had guests for Halloween for an entire weekend.
Quite a few guests.
Yeah, I had like, I think we had like 13 or 14 people in the house at one stage. And anyway, this week we have an exciting, we have exciting news. And we have a fantastic guest with us. So first up, we'd like to announce the winners of our competition.
Da-da-da!
Hey, I like that. It's fanfare. So we got hundreds of entries, and I mean hundreds of entries.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much. It was really, really difficult to narrow down the choices. But we finally managed to do it thanks to Abby for helping us with it. Thank you very much, Abby. Now, first place was...
Take My Soul, I Have Two, I'm Talarin by Kanji.
Yep, we love that one. Second place, Rift Over 500 Ways to Kill Simon by Unforgiven.
And then third place, Follow Me to the Nearest Rift by RP Guru.
Yep. Now, it was so hard to choose that we have a few honorable mentions, which we will be sending copies of their honorable mention bumper stickers. I know it's not much, I'm sorry, but we thought this would, you know, be kind of fun. So, Ched, A Wild Rift Appears.
Urtax, rifts happen dynamically.
Lanthian, Rift, Better Than Snakes on a Plane.
Goku, Don't Drink and Drive, Stay at Home and Play Rift.
Irengard, Caution, This Vehicle is Made from Ethian Technology.
And Jinkies, Invasions Are Just a Plane's Way of Saying, Could I Borrow a Cup of Sugar?
So we had a lot of fun with this, and we hope everybody else did. Also, in conjunction with Rift Seekers, the winners of the Designer Soul Contest have also been chosen. This was really hard, like, just indefinitely hard to decide these. And we really, really appreciate the effort everyone put in, but...
First place is Bellatrix is Desolator.
Yeah, I loved that one. A lot of detail, was great, very original. Second place, Ranger 10700, Rift Seeker, funnily enough. But yeah, great, even history and backstory, yeah. And it was just, yeah.
And then finally, third place is Eventide is Wraithblade.
Yeah, so they were all great. There were a lot more that were great. We're going to try and see if we can figure out something to do maybe, you know, down the road with those, maybe open a poll or something, but we're still... still trying to figure that out, so that's nothing definite yet.
We'll be contacting all winners via email about their win and arranging how to send them their prizes.
It was a lot of fun hosting the contest. We hope that they were at least a bit of fun for everyone, and we're also hoping to be able to do something like this again, and are looking into a cafe press so people can get the bumper stickers if they do wish to. We're just not entirely sure how to set it up because of the way cafe press is set up, so we'll... We'll get back on that one.
We're working on it. And now today we get to talk about rifts, and we mean everything, from their possible loot to the endgame versions to consequences of not closing them.
Now we have Cindy with us today. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's been a really crazy week. We've been really working on beta stuff and getting everything ready for Gamer Day. And really, really an exciting time. It just gets more and more exciting around here all the time as we... keep heading towards launch.
Starting to ramp up a bit. We're getting close to 20,000 people on the forum.
It's yeah. The numbers are rising really fast. And we've got lots of plans for advertising and things to build more hype coming up. So things are really taking off. We're going to see this community just explode soon.
Well, it's ramping up, which is really getting great for us. So I'm going to move on to my guest for today. So today we have Will Cook with us. He's the Rift Events Lead, and he's here to answer some questions about how Rifts work and what it was like to design them. Welcome, Will.
Hi, everyone.
It's great to have you with us. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work for Triumph?
So I worked on Warhammer Online with Mythic Entertainment before I came to Tryon. Mm-hmm. I worked on things like Public Quest and a little bit on the Tome of Knowledge.
I loved the Tome of Knowledge.
It was a lot of fun to work on. It was at the time quite a big thing, quite a new thing, and I hope a lot of other games try something out like it, and we get to see multiple iterations as we move on in the MMO generations.
Yeah. Now, what exactly does a Rift Events lead do?
Well, I'm in charge of the dynamic content, so I lead my group in the creation of Rift Events, Invasions, Footholds, all the things that ruin the static content guys' days. But we're getting along, and we try to complement each other as much as possible, which means trying to tie into their stuff, and they try to tie into ours.
Hmm.
Yep, that's about it.
So, which Rift is your favorite?
It's like trying to choose between my children, right?
The guys
seem to come up with a better one every day. You know, for a while, my favorite Rift was you defend a shambler and it gets bigger and bigger and helps you out in the fight. But now I'm starting to love some of the defense Rifts I'm seeing. And the guys are really, and sometimes it's just a simple mechanic. Like there's, instead of, a standard two-pole, a Bargist will get buffed by a Bamani nearby. So Bamani doesn't actually fight you. It'll instead buff the Bargist up, and it makes for sort of an interesting take on regular combat. So they surprise me every day with what they're capable of. And as we enter the Raid Rifts phase, I'm sure that I will have some new favorites every day.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to it too. Now, we've heard a lot about Rifts. Like, they have stages, everyone will be able to get rewards. How does the Rift system actually differ from the Warhammer Public Quest system?
One of my favorite things about Rift events is that they're not location locked. Our placebanking tech allows us to create thousands of possible locations for Rifts around the world, any one of which can launch any of our events.
Oh, okay.
Not only that, but our events have consequences for the rest of the world, as you've seen with our previous mention of Footholds and Invasions and some of the things we've been talking about with them.
Okay, so the game is called Rift Plains of Talara, making the Rifts a focal point of the game. How do you feel they live up to this, and not just visually? Because visually they look fantastic.
We pride ourselves on the fact that Rift is a huge game offering a complete experience, both through the leveling experience and in the end game, in PvE and PvP. Rifts and Invasions are just some of the cool mechanics that help make our game shine, and I'm really happy the way they complement our other forms of content. And most importantly, they help to create the evocative world and the stories that you're going to adventure through.
Okay. Okay, now, it has been mentioned that if you have enough people and beat enough stages, you can push the rift further. So what does this entail? About how many stages does your typical pushed rift have?
We have the ability to make as many stable and unstable stages as we want in an event. And as a player, you'll get to experience events of many different lengths. But we found that the ideal length for a rift in the leveling game is around 5 stages to 6 stages when pushed, so to speak. That provides probably the right amount of content for effort and allows you to play rifts or get on with your leveling.
So it doesn't. So the rifts don't kind of get in the way and stop your progression.
Well, they never really get in the way of your progression. It's just the right amount of for the experience we want to give you at a certain level. We don't want you to get bogged down in, end game style rifts when you're level 15.
Okay, so if a rift gives better rewards as you push it further, are the later stages truly challenging? Like, will it benefit from having an entire group tackle it, or is it something that 2 or 3 people can consistently manage with ease? Is it something a solo player will consistently be able to accomplish?
The later stages can be very challenging, which is why rifts that have been pushed far will require more and more players.
Mm-hmm.
Solo players will be able to defeat the first boss of a minor rift without issue, but in order to push it very far, they'll need some friends.
Okay. Now, speaking of rewards, are the rewards preset on initiating the rift, or will they be divided randomly per contribution, or is there another way?
There are both random rewards and event-specific rewards. There are also plane-specific rewards. For the most part, rewards are player-specific, so you don't need to worry about other people showing up and taking a share of your loot. You're all in it together, and the further you can push the rift, the more rewards everyone will receive. And once it's time for rewards, once the rift is closed, it'll choose from, among the event-specific, plane-specific, and, tier-specific, to your level, rewards.
So what types of things can you get as a Rift reward? Like gear, collections, crafting items?
Yes.
Yes to all of those?
Yes, all of the above. Additionally, Rifts offer some Rift-specific rewards. The biggest, I suppose, the most consistent form of those is essence or essences, which slot into planar foci.
That sounds interesting.
Players can customize their focus with different essences depending on how they wish to play. Simon, our design director, keeps several foci on him at all times at the end game because he loves switching his role for every single fight.
Are they lootable when you kill Dead Simon?
I hope so. If they're not, we've done something wrong. I mean, we want to make sure that whether you want to keep one focus slotted up with essences that you think is just good for every fight, or whether you want to switch your class and your focus every fight like Simon, you can do either.
Excellent. So how do the Rifts calculate contribution? Because I played a healer in Warhammer. A healer's actually going to get credit.
So I'll try to tackle this from the beginning. Effort is the foundation of contribution. We track what players are doing in the Rift and who they are doing it to.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've tallied this information, we place players into categories rather than straight up rankings.
Okay.
Categories are the primary control on loot, and they are more forgiving than rankings. Without getting too much into the nuts and bolts of it, I can tell you that we are cognizant of the mana preservation tactics of skilled healers, and we'll make sure they get the contribution their performance warrants.
Good.
All that being said, I can also tell you that we still include a leaderboard with exact rankings for those who enjoy pushing themselves to be at the top.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Now, Scott mentioned that there are going to be group rifts. Is this true of the whole rift, or is it like just the final stages? Like, are there specific rifts that are group-oriented?
Rifts are phenomenal for group play. Even minor rifts, which are sort of the main form of rifts you're going to experience at the leveling game. And they start out as our smallest form. They're solo events to start out. We'll be pushed into sort of small group events. On top of that, we offer major rifts, which appear as supercharged versions of minors. Major rifts are meant for groups and offer supercharged loot to go along with their increased difficulty.
Okay.
We also have our endgame rifts, which will range from elite five-mans to full-on raid rifts.
Oh, I like that. So basically, there are different level difficulties for rifts within the zone levels that they appear.
Exactly right.
These minor and major ones.
That's what you're going to see primarily when you're leveling, but you'll see even more difficulty variation at the end game.
Mm. Now, what is the benefit of doing rifts apart from getting all of these awesome little items you get? Like, I mean, are they going to overrun the area if you don't close it? Does it give you faction, XP? Does it tie into crafting? Like, are there more reasons to do it than just, you know, the loot?
Well, probably the most compelling reason that we found, and as much as I tend to get sick of the things I make, I cannot help myself but try. I always have to put down invasions and footholds. They offer a sort of, unlike, you know, a game strictly based on questing, that's the foil is right there getting in your face. The bad guy is attacking whether you like it or not. And that's something that we've been absolutely terrified of in MMOs because, you know, we're afraid of hassling the player, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we've hit the right balance of, you know, the on-demand, the player-activated content like quests, and content that's, you know, you're sort of forced to deal with and that you encounter dynamically.
Okay.
So rifts offer, I think the most compelling things about doing rifts is that it just the RPG of it.
Okay. Now, if a rift has a particularly strong enemy that you and your friends can't defeat, does it just stay there? A reward still available? Does it despawn? Or does it spawn an invasion? Like, what is the consequence of not being able to close a rift?
Well, thankfully, our philosophy has always been that if you can push to an unstable stage, then you should be able to defeat that stage.
Okay.
However, you may just not be able to defeat it quickly enough to push to another even more difficult stage.
Mm-hmm.
If a rift is abandoned midway through, it will continue to produce invasions until it runs out of power and collapses. And if you ever get to a point, and my biggest thing with the loot is that we never wanted to have anyone feel like they, you know, they got cheated out of it. So mm-hmm. at some point, that loot will end up in your bag come hell or high water.
Okay. Now, Larry mentioned in the fourth podcast that rifts are level specific to the level range of the zone they spawn in. Are there any restrictions on what can be obtained from those rifts by any given player?
Well, we didn't want to restrict it too much. So, I mean, much like you can try to bring your low-level friend into a higher-level dungeon to give him some items that he won't be able to equip for a few levels, we wanted to make sure you can try to bring people along. in a sense, even though they're in the open world, I mean, you know when you've entered a rift, and you know when you've entered a rift that's too high for you. But there are some experience restrictions and some loot restrictions for, you know, anybody who's exploiting the system or running something that they really don't need the loot from.
Okay. Now, what about rift objectives? Is it always kill XYZ mobs, or are there different types of rifts? I mean, you mentioned before something about a protecting rift or something? You don't necessarily have to, you know...
That's absolutely correct, yeah. So we have, rifts have access to the same scripting and ability system that we use in our quests and our raiding.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're not location locked, we still have all the same capabilities, which is a lot of fun. So hopefully the only thing that's limiting us is what proves to be fun. But so while there are plenty of straight-up wave rifts for those who like to sort of the nonstop battle, there are plenty of rifts with different mechanics, some of which, you know, are defense rifts. And those are some of my favorites now. Those are events where you're actually, you know, defending something inside the rift as invaders sort of spawn out and try to take it, which I suppose is similar to a wave rift. So I can also mention that, you know, we have some prolonged boss fights where the it makes it all the more satisfying to take down that mob once he's been taunting you for multiple stages. And we even have the occasional sort of, you know, choose your own battle or almost puzzle mechanic. But, you know, it's pretty straight up. We don't want to, puzzles are sometimes fun, sometimes not. So we want to make sure that fun is our limiting mechanic, not, you know, what mechanics we're capable of creating.
I'm all for that. Fun is good. Now, planar enemies emerge into Talara through these rifts. How is this connected to invasions or footholds, if it is?
Rifts open up, and if they're not attended to, invasions will spawn and try to go create footholds in the world. They'll do these at any locations they think are valuable, including player hubs. That's sort of the basics of the ecosystem of invading.
Can you kind of log in and, like, do you have to be careful where you log in if they can, like, overtake hubs?
So you're always going to want to try to find... There are safe spots that you can try to log out, and you won't be jumped as soon as you log back in. We're very aware of that issue and are, you know, going to some lengths to make sure it doesn't happen for you. But generally, yeah, the world is not always a safe place. You will always be able to probably take out the problem that is presented to you. So we won't toss a something that needs a raid in a leveling hub to, you know, get rid of.
Okay. Now, for any given element of a rift, say, you know, fire or death, how many types of those rifts are there for a level range, or more importantly, at max level?
So the way we sort of like to organize our rifts is that we'd like to tie them in with the zone stories. So if you're in Gloamwood and the goblins and their Gedlo council are some of the major enemies, we like to make sure that the rifts that are opening up there are supplying that story. So we organize what rifts are in what zones by virtue of the stories. We want to make sure that rifts are not just random events opening up, but they have a connection to the questing you've been doing and the dungeons you've been running.
Okay. So they're a little restricted just because of lore.
We don't want you to get tired of all the rifts that are coming out. You know, if we presented a 6 rifts in the first zone, I mean, that's a little bit like throwing a bag of Skittles at you and telling you to try to, you know, make sense of it all.
I like Skittles. But yeah, no, that makes sense.
Well, hopefully the way we've laid them out will make sure that you every time a rift is introduced or reintroduced, it'll feel fresh, it'll have new mobs, and it'll connect to the story that you're experiencing in the rest of the game at the time.
Makes perfect sense. So months down the road, after the majority of players have hit max level, will the Rift system be capable of sustaining this large amount of level-capped players who are all competing for the same Rifts?
Well, I'm confident our dynamic coordinators will be able to handle a large number of endgame players. I'm happy to say that Rifts and Invasions don't bear this burden alone.
That's good.
I'm very excited about our dungeons, raids, and PvP, all of which offer additional features at our endgame. We've got Rift raids, incredible PvP, which highlights the amazing combinations of our class system, expert versions of dungeons that offer new areas and additional bosses, and some great top-tier raiding.
Excellent.
I guess it's my hope that we're going to blow people away with one of the most robust endgames that people have seen a game launch with in quite some time.
I'm your fan club here, so I'm cheering that. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Hopefully. Right now we're on track not to let you down, and I hope it stays that way.
Woo! Okay, now, is it possible for players to not only force open tears, but to make their own tear and force it open? And if not, why not?
So tears are something that we like to maintain control of because we're trying to control the feel and the volume and the frequency of our dynamic content. So while players still have the ability to determine what events will come out of tears using openers and lures, we want to make sure that we can provide, you know, an excellent dynamic content experience by giving you the right number of tears and the right kind, especially when we get into the end game sort of tears where you're going to need raid-sized tears.
Raid-sized tears? So do they appear, or are they also forced open?
Do you mean do raids appear naturally?
So am I going? Is my mage going to get jumped by a raid at some stage, or?
Well, it'd be pretty. It'd be pretty hard to get jumped by something the size of a football field.
True.
But we do want to make sure that there's a little bit of some surprises for help for you at the end game.
That's
but
good.
You'll also be able to open the events you want on demand as well.
Okay, so. Is it a different type of item than you would use for a normal tear with a raid rift? And if not, like, what sort of item and how is it obtainable? Like, how do you open a raid rift?
So the lure mechanic that we teach you through the leveling game will persist into the raid game.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that high-level lures that open really cool events, we want to make sure that they're sort of gated, but we like how open the rift system is, and we want to make sure that everyone feels like they can always do the raids they want to do, the rift raids they want to do. So while these lures will be more valuable, we're still discussing how we're going to limit them, if at all.
Now, can raid rifts appear anywhere, or is there one locked down specific location for them?
Right now, they're going to be limited to our endgame zones.
Okay, but anywhere in the zone?
Right now, we're sort of discussing that. I mean, it depends on the area. Because some areas in Shimmer Sand, you know, they have a lot of low-level questing, or if it's a wide level range, we'll probably limit the raid rifts to a large percentage of the zone, but in higher-level areas.
Okay. Now, it's been mentioned that raid rifts are more cooperative than contested. How is that going to work?
Well, we want to make... So if the dungeon raiding game, the Instancia raiding game, is, you know, that gourmet steak dinner... Riff raids are a big sloppy cheeseburger.
We want to
celebrate that nature of them. That means you can bring 100 people and try to game it, and we'll try to make it fun for you if you bring 20 or if you bring 100. They're a little crazy. Sometimes they're a little random. But they're always going to be fun, and we're really going to try to celebrate the nature of what a rift is and not try to, you know, box it into another type of gameplay.
Okay. So do rifts exist independently of everything, or are some of them tied into quests or other activities or achievements?
We do have some that tie into other activities.
Cool.
Many large quest lines will end with a rift, or they'll have a cool rift boss fight. We wanted to make sure that the technology that we use for rifts isn't limited only to my team. So everyone has access to it and can play with it. And we have the ability to make rifts that... you know, trigger based on player events and player quests, as well as some that just use the regular system.
Cool. So are there specific places for special event rifts, or is it a completely random rift content system?
There are special places set aside for, you know, the occasional epic quest line.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the ability to trigger, you know, any potential rift location can be used for questing as well. So it really depends on what the situation warrants, but we have the flexibility to do either.
Awesome. Now, how will player-opened rifts affect PvP combat or a city's function?
As far as rifts and PvP, that's still something that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But cities can be invaded just like anything else. They've
cool.
got... Now, it might be hard. It might take sort of a concerted force of invasions or a combination of invasions that you don't see very often. But it's definitely something that we want to allow happen.
Awesome. Okay, so... Will there be any sort of major events involving rifts that are dev or GM initiated? For example, like the Green Scale managed to get a stronghold in one part of the world and now wants to invade Sanctum, you know, massive amounts of planar creatures start spewing forth, blah, 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 and it's like over a weekend for the players to fight back and stuff. Any plans for
all
epic stuff like that?
All that stuff except for the needing somebody to initiate it. We will have... So we wanted to make sure that we have a consistent experience across whatever server you're on. And we wanted to also make sure that our system could do all the things that, you know, we had dreamed of for somebody sitting at a console to do. So
awesome.
We will be able to trigger quite large-scale invasions, and I can't wait till we get some of our, you know, special events, because you're going to see that kind of stuff But you won't need anybody sitting at a console to activate it.
Oh, that's great. So, okay, so you said special events. Will there be any Christmas or Halloween or Easter rifts? Can we expect seasonally flavored rifts?
If we don't do any, we're not doing our job.
Awesome.
And we have a dynamic content system that can put these events anywhere. we better do all of the above.
Awesome. Okay, so what has been the greatest challenge, or what have been the greatest challenges in creating the Rift Dynamic content?
Really living up to the promise of dynamic content. I mean, we had to. It's thrown around like a buzzword, and some people, you know, are talking about it, trying to release games that are purportedly doing it, and we needed dynamic content to complement the story, to make it more evocative, which I think Rifts undoubtedly do. I mean, it's the name of our game for a reason. It's because we wanted to make sure that there's a great, great reason for dynamic content and that it really made the world more interesting. After that, I mean, it was things like making sure that our dynamic content didn't just happen in the same location over and over again. You know, we didn't want an area event that was just off sometimes. We also wanted to make sure that there's consequences, and we want to continue to develop those consequences, you know, post-launch as well, because what is the point of dynamic content if, you know, it just cycles and you doing it or not doing it doesn't really have much effect. We wanted to make sure that it feels like there are large zone-wide consequences. Ooh, and we will continue to develop those, and that's one of the things I'm most excited about, both for both, you know, in development now and after we launch.
Excellent. Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell us, you know, anything else you'd like to add to what you've already told us?
Well, as much as I love Rifts, I want to emphasize that they're one facet of a very complete game, which is probably our overriding vision, is to create an MMO that is complete out of the gate, is something that does not have, you know, wide gaps or blatant errors or bugs that we should have caught. We've got, you know, an excellent dungeon system. We've got an excellent PvP system. We've got one of the best class systems to ever be in an MMO. And then we've got this excellent bit of dynamic content. So really, rather than, you know, you're not stuck with questing every night, you can choose whatever you want for dinner, you know. It's not just pizza every night.
Okay, so what is your favorite pie?
My favorite pie is, I would say growing up it was lemon meringue, but nowadays I'm more like my dad. I love a good pecan pie.
Oh, pecan pie is beautiful. Excellent. I have to ask now what people's favorite pie is, so... Yep. Well, you have been absolutely fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming and giving us so much of your time.
Well, I'd love to do it again. I never feel like I can tell everybody everything, and I guess I got to get back to work. But, you know, tell me when you want to do it again, and I'll be there.
I'll hold you to that.
All right. Sounds good.
Now, Abby, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us this week? I mean, you just announced, like, the pumpkin contest, the photo contest. That looks awesome. How is that going?
That's been a lot of fun. That actually ended on Friday, and we're in the process of going through that thread now. It just exploded. There were plenty of plenty of entries into that. There were some really cool and creative submissions, and if you haven't seen them, go take a look. Some of the things people did were just amazing, and it was really cute. There were some people that said they couldn't get a hold of pumpkins. They were in other countries where they really didn't have access to them, so they got really creative. I think my favorite one was... a chili pepper with Rift carved into it. It was really cute. So.
Well, I know.
We'll be dispersing those codes this week.
Oh, that's excellent. That's exciting.
And there are going to be lots more contests. We've been putting together some ideas, and we'll have more contests on the forums and Facebook and Twitter. And then you'll see some other ways to get VIP codes from other avenues as well as we move forward.
Well, that's exciting. Now, so we're ramping up on the way to beta, which was when again?
Soon. Very soon.
Very
Getting
soon.
Sooner.
I like that. I like the very soon because it gives more of a sense of immediacy in there. I will keep trying. One day I will succeed.
Now, but we'll be announcing it very soon.
Oh, okay. I'm really excited now. Now, thank you so much for popping by again, and we will talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Ari.
Well, it was a lot of fun listening to Will's interview, and I hope we get to have him back again soon.
I would really like to. I thought he was great. Now, this week hasn't been as busy with news releases as we'd like, but there have been a couple of nice tidbits.
Ooh.
So,
the weekly roundup of news is as follows. Monday, October 25th, Destructoid released their hands-on review of Rift Planes of Talara, detailing some of the reasons why Rift should be on your MMO playlist.
Yes. Tuesday, October 26th, 10 Ton Hammer released their part 4 of their reader submitted Q&A. Go and take a look at that.
And Friday, October 29th, Rift Watch number 4 came out this week, and with it some background lore on the Eth Empire.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's good read.
So it's about that time again. Don't forget to check out all the VIP contests that are still running and keep an eye out for ones from Trion. Make sure to get your entries in before the deadlines because sadly you wouldn't be eligible otherwise.
Yes.
And don't forget to visit us at riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the links mentioned up in our show notes for you to read.
Mm-hmm. Now remember, you can now like us on Facebook, like us, follow us on Twitter, or contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com in comments on the site, or through the Contact Us feature,
or on Facebook.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is Erythian.
And this is Deskus.
And we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.